whatever we ask of you. He replied, what do you wish me to do for you? And they answered him, grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left. Jesus said to them, you do not know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, we can. And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you will drink. With the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right and on my left is not mine to give, but for those for whom it has been prepared. When the 10 heard this, they became indignant with James and John. And Jesus summoned them all and said to them, you know how those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for the many. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning of Mass, last week, Jesus took on the issue of money and of wealth. And I made the claim that Jesus isn't condemning money or isn't condemning wealth, but he's challenging us to take seriously the effect that money and wealth has on our Christian life, the effect it has on our relationship with him, and the effect it has on our human life, our family life, and on our moral life. It was a good challenge for us to ponder as followers of him. And today the challenges continue. And this time it's about power. It's about greatness. And right before the gospel here today, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he tells his disciples what's going to happen to him whenever he gets there. And he says, they're going to hand him over to the chief priests, and they were going to condemn him to death, hand him over to the Gentiles who will mock him, spit on him, scourge him, and put him to death. And immediately after that, in our gospel here today, James and John comes up to Jesus and says, can we sit on your right and your left when you come into your glory? And I'm thinking, when I read that, I'm thinking, did they hear a word he just said? Did they get what he just said to them? Because you see, they always thought that Jesus was going to be this political figure who was going to go to Jerusalem and somehow overthrow the Romans and restore the kingdom of Israel. And I can't help but wonder, did Jesus cry? Did he scream? Did he yell? Did he go into a low-grade depression and all of that? Or he just simply says in the scriptures, you just don't get it. You don't get it. You don't understand what I'm really all about here. Because in Jesus' kingdom, it's not about power as you and I ordinarily understand power, like political power. In Jesus' kingdom, power is different. It's this power of being able to serve and to be in his kingdom, to be great, is to be the servant of all. And he's talking to his leaders of his church. And by the way, folks, maybe just simply say, Jesus founded the church. The church was Jesus's idea. It wasn't ours. He's the one who founded the church. And he said to his leaders, they're supposed to be the servant of everybody. And then he says, all of us are supposed to be persons of service. But not in some, by the way, he says, that's how you are going to be judged, by the way. Whenever it comes to that time of judgment, we're going to be judged on our service. And it's not some extraordinary thing you and I are supposed to go out there and do that's different from our everyday life. He wants us to see opportunities to serve all the time in our everyday life. Kind of like this. Terry was walking out of church one day, and she noticed this elderly man having a difficult putting on his coat. So she helps him put on his coat, smiles, and goes on her way. The next couple weeks later, she sees the man again. They kind of strike up a conversation, and she finds out that he lives in a little apartment that's on her way home from church. So she said, I'll give you a ride home. So for the next 2 years, she drives this elderly man home after church. His name was Gus. Well, one day, Gus doesn't show up to church. And so she knocks on the door of his apartment, and she kind of goes inside and finds him very, very sick and dials 911 and goes off to the hospital. The next day, she calls and asks how Gus is, and he's not well. He's going to die. And so she asks, have you called the relatives to come in and see him? And they say he doesn't have any relatives. The only one he asked us to call was you. And so he has no one. She didn't know he was that alone. He has no one. She goes down to the hospital, sits there, and he can't speak. But by his eyes, you can tell he recognizes her. She grabs his hand. She prays this beautiful prayer of how much he is loved, he accepted, and welcomed. And she sits there for just a few moments. He closes his eyes, and he dies. That's the story. Nothing extraordinary there. Just something in her everyday life that she is. I have seen many of you doing exactly the same thing. Nothing remarkable about it, but isn't it great? Isn't it powerful what she did? Many of you know that I was I taught school at Guilfoyle, Bishop Guilfoyle, for the first 7 years whenever I was a priest. And good years for me. I still stay in touch with some of the students I have. We do Christmas cards and things like that back and forth. And one year, a student transferred into the school. I think it was from Phillipsburg. And he was a little bit of an odd guy. And I didn't have him in my own class. But I recognized him because he always carried every single one of his books to every single class. And I was wondering about that. So I asked one of the kids, I said, why is he doing that? And they said the school he was at before, he was bullied so brutally every single day that some student would go to his locker and throw everything in his locker out in the hallway almost every single day in that former school. And so he began to carry all his books to every single class. And he came to this new school, kind of thought the same thing was going to happen. So he started carrying every single one of his books to every class every day. Well, gradually, slowly, he began to put some of his books back in the locker again. I remember one day, I was standing kind of like here at the end of the hallway, big long hallway in the school, and I watched this young man and Paul Beard. Paul Beard, probably the most popular kid in the entire school. They're walking down the aisle, the hallway together, and they're just talking, laughing, you know, going to the same class together, just ordinary, two ordinary guys going to class. And I think Paul had more books in his hand than this kid did at that time. I remember asking Paul later, do you remember walking down the hall with his name? I can't remember his name right now. And he says, nah, don't remember it. No big deal to him at all. But the way those kids, like Paul, welcomed him and accepted him and received him and let him know that he belonged was one of the most remarkable things I remember seeing in my 7 years of being in that school. And it was just a powerful, powerful thing to witness. A very, very great thing for me to witness where those kids accepted that young man and healed many, many wounds in his heart. And I gotta tell you, I know Paul Beard's parents, they're exactly the same way. Exactly the same way. Just one more story, if you just allow me here for a moment. I got this letter the other day from one of you. And the letter says, my sister-in-law, Joanne, fell down a set of concrete steps and fractured her arm, jammed it into her sockets. It may take some time to heal. Now she's at home. I volunteered to be her caregiver since her daughters have to work. She's diabetic and the right arm can't do anything. She can't do anything with that arm. So I need to be there for her. All of this, I just let you know how very much I miss being at daily mass and adoration. It's amazing how it's become so much a part of my life. And she kind of goes on from there. But nothing extraordinary with all that. Just her, you know, doing the thing, the opportunity that's before her in her everyday life. How great is that? How wonderful is that? You know, I mentioned this to you guys last week, and there's some hard copies in the back of the church. You got it in the email. If you get our email, our quarterly newsletter reporting your impact on the community. And I mentioned in here the Halloween thing you guys are doing. You're bringing all this candy for those kids down at New Day. A lot of kids in Johnstown don't get a chance to go trick-or-treating in a safe place like many of our kids do. And so they're going to try to set up something like that for them. And you're going to go down and help out. And many people help out and then go down there and bring some candy with you, all that. And then we're going to set up a refreshment stand outside there for Halloween just to greet people as they walk by. Do you know that in the last 3 months for assistance ministry, you have given them $25,000 to do things for other people in the community of Johnstown? Joseph Hands. I mean, they're everywhere, helping people all over the place in so many different ways. And kind of on and on it goes. And may I, just as I conclude here, give a shout out to all of the people who are involved with educating and dealing with our young folks. You know, from Liturgy of the Word to our religious education classes, from first grade all the way up to high school, you know, a lot of our young folks don't make it to church. For whatever reason, a lot of our young folks don't get here. And sometimes what they hear in those religious education classes, the only thing they hear about Jesus Christ at all in their homes. And sometimes they come pretty hostile, pretty angry, and they still hear about the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ in their lives. And these people are there with them Sunday, day after day, Sunday after Sunday. I honor them, every one of them who are involved in educating our young people and knowing the love that Jesus Christ has for all of them. So, none of it extraordinary. None of it something that you have to do on the side, but part of everyday life. And so, like Terry, like Paul Beard, like so many of you, just in your everyday life, doing these wonderful things for people that are so great, that are so powerful, making Jesus' words come to life. Whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be powerful among you must be the servant of all. In our everyday service, everyday lives, we become more and more like Jesus. How powerful, how great is all of that?